Section 3, From British Rule to Revolution. As you read, look for why the British settled in Alabama, the reasons for the American Revolution, how the government of the United States of America was formed, the effect of the War of 1812 on Alabama and the nation, when parts of Alabama became part of the United States, terms, tax, Declaration of Independence, American Revolution, command, boundary, survey. The British took over French land east of the Mississippi on October 20, 1763. This placed the future state of Alabama under the control of the British. In Mobile, the change of government was marked by raising the British flag over Fort Conde. Major Robert Farmer was the new officer in charge. More than a new flag. A change of government was a very upsetting event in the territory. The British allowed the Roman Catholic Church to stay, but they added an Anglican church. They let the French keep their property. They demanded that English be spoken and that people obey British common law. The British made some people move because they would not swear loyalty to Great Britain's King George III. More than half of the French settlers left Mobile. Great Britain ruled Mobile for 17 years. The British repaired Fort Conde and renamed it Fort Charlotte. The British wanted to avoid costly Indian wars and encourage trade. For those reasons, they established the Proclamation Line of 1763. It was supposed to limit new British settlements. Europeans were not allowed on Indian lands that lay to the west of that line, but settlers kept moving into the area and the population grew. Creek Chief Alexander McGillivray. Trade was as important to the British as it had been to the French. Many men came to the area to trade with the Indians. One of the best-known traders was a man from Scotland named Lachlan McGillivray. He married Sahoy Marchand, a Creek princess of the Wind tribe. Sahoy's mother was Creek, and her father was a French army officer at Fort Toulouse. The couple set up a trading post at Little Tallahassee, near present-day Wetumpka. They named their first child Alexander. He spent his childhood with Indian boys, learning to hunt, fish, and trap animals. When Alexander was 15 years old, his father sent him to a school in Charleston, South Carolina. At first, Alexander was unhappy. He was used to Indian customs, clothes, food, and language. In Charleston, the people spoke English and had British customs. In school, Alexander studied Greek, Latin, history, and literature. He met some British settlers and learned about their ways of life and doing business. Many people in Charleston wanted Alexander to stay there and become a lawyer. But after finishing school, he went back to his Creek people. The Creek were happy to have Alexander at home. They made him their chief. Alexander spent his life trying to save Creek lands and make the Creek nation strong. The Creek were often angry and upset because white settlers were taking over their lands. Alexander seemed to know when to work with each of the different groups in the area. At one time, he sided with the British. He knew when to make peace with the Spanish and when to help the Americans. During his life, he was a colonel in the British Army, a colonel in the Spanish Army, and a brigadier general in the American Army. For him, though, his most important title was Chief of the Creek Nation. Eventually, Alexander McGillivray had to choose one side. In 1790, President George Washington asked him to come to New York City. At that meeting, Washington convinced McGillivray to sign a treaty in favor of the United States. The United States of America. By the 1770s, many colonists were unhappy with Great Britain's rule. King George III made them pay high taxes, but they had no say about those taxes. A tax is money charged to people and businesses for services provided by the government. This taxation without representation caused big problems. On July 4, 1776, the colonists declared that they were free of Great Britain. They did this by having representatives sign a document called the Declaration of Independence. The colonists then prepared to fight for the freedom to govern themselves. The war to free colonists from Great Britain's rule was called the American Revolution. Most of the war's battles were fought in the north and along the east coast. The only real battle fought in what became Alabama was between the Spanish and the British. Spain and France were unhappy about having lost land to Great Britain in the past. The two countries decided to join the American colonist fight against the British. In January 1780, Bernardo de Galvez, the governor of Spanish Louisiana, set out for Mobile. He led his 11 Spanish ships into Mobile Bay and attacked Fort Charlotte. After 14 days, the British commander of the fort turned it over to the Spaniards on March 14, 1780. To command is to be in charge. Commander is a military title. The American Revolution finally ended in 1781. The British, weakened from fighting a long-distance war, retreated. In 1783, both countries signed the Treaty of Paris. This treaty recognized the independence of the United States. Not all of present-day Alabama was included in the United States at that time. Andrew Ellicott's Stone. After the American Revolution, Spain controlled Florida and the land west of the Mississippi River. Most people did not know where Spanish Florida ended and the United States began. The two countries agreed on how to settle the boundary border problem. They decided that 31 degrees north latitude would be the boundary between the United States and Spanish West Florida. The United States hired Andrew Ellicott to survey, map, and mark the boundary line. Sir William Dunbar did the same for Spain. The survey was finished in 1799, and the line was called Ellicott's Line. A stone marker was placed on the boundary line. This marker still stands today near the community of Bucks in Mobile County, Alabama. The line it marks is part of the boundary between Alabama and Florida. The War of 1812. The War of 1812 was between Great Britain and the United States, 1812 to 1815. There were several problems between the two countries that led to the war. Even after the American Revolution, the British still had troops in the Great Lakes area. The British also helped the Indians fight the Americans. The British would not trade goods if the Americans made the profit. The British often took sailors from American ships and made them work on British ships. This practice is called impressment. President James Madison signed Congress's Declaration of War on June 18, 1812. Great Britain planned to attack the United States in three places: New York, Chesapeake Bay, and New Orleans. America was a young country and was having great problems. The British were advancing, but America won the naval battle of Lake Champlain. The British then retreated to Canada. There were very few American troops in the Chesapeake Bay area, so the British marched into Washington, D.C. and burned most of the public buildings there. The British sent 50 ships and 10,000 troops from Jamaica to take control of New Orleans. The citizens of Louisiana looked to Andrew Jackson, who was called Old Hickory, to defend them. When told that the British were near, Jackson said, "Gentlemen, the British are below. We must fight them tonight." his night attack surprised the British, and they pulled back. Jackson moved to a better location on the banks of a canal. The Mississippi River was on one side, and a swamp was on the other side. Jackson's army was an odd mix of men. He had more troops than just the regular U.S. Army units and citizen soldiers from New Orleans. Also fighting with him were former Haitian slaves and sharpshooters from Kentucky and Tennessee. He even had a band of Jean Lafitte's outlaws. In all, Jackson commanded about 4,000 men against about 10,000 British troops. The Battle of New Orleans was hard-fought, with the British losing more than 2,000 men. The American losses were 8 killed and 13 wounded. The victory in January 1815 made Jackson an American hero. The end of Spanish rule. The part of Alabama below the 31st parallel belonged to Spain until the War of 1812. That is when American soldiers took the area. Then, for the first time, all of what is now Alabama became part of the United States. Think it through. 1. Who was an officer in 3 armies during his life? 2. Why did the Spanish return to Alabama? 3. Why did the colonies declare independence from Great Britain? 4. What is Ellicott's Stone? 5. How did the War of 1812 change Alabama? Chapter Review. The following is a summary of Chapter 3. Exploration of Alabama took place over many years. Spanish explorers in search of land and riches came first. In 1519, De Pineda mapped the Mobile Bay area. In 1540, De Soto moved through Alabama. In 1558, King Philip II of Spain sent Bazares to map the Gulf Coast. De Luna came in 1559 to start a colony in the Mobile area. A hurricane killed many of the people. The survivors went back to Mexico. In 1699, King Louis XIV of France sent Iberville and Bienville to set up a French colony. They first settled near present-day Biloxi, Mississippi. In 1711, they moved the colony near Mobile Bay. Great Britain defeated France in a war. The British took over French land in North America and changed laws, religion, and place names. Creek chief Alexander McGillivray spent a large part of his life trying to save Creek lands. He served in the armies of 3 nations. At the end of the American Revolution, Spain still owned part of present-day Alabama. The boundary line is marked with Ellicott's Stone in Mobile County. The United States of America had a national government with separation of powers. It had a strong base for all of its laws in the United States Constitution. Alabama was not one of the states yet, but soon would be. General Andrew Jackson won the Battle of New Orleans for the United States. When the War of 1812 ended, all of Alabama became part of the United States.